Let's get into this. All right, cool. Well, you know, tonight I want to be really conversational and cool with you guys, but I might break out into a preach, so work with me here. Tonight, you know, I want to talk a little bit about something. If you haven't yet experienced it, you will. And if you're going through it now, it really sucks. It's being dry. You know, if you've been a Christian for any number of years, you've probably gone through that patch in life. Or maybe you're going through right now that dry patch in life where you just kind of think, well, what is something wrong with me? What am I doing? What do I need to get rid of? You know, we get through that time. Or maybe you're just coming out of that. Maybe life is just really difficult right now. I want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk about not being dry. I want to talk about getting a refreshment within yourself. I want to talk about coming to understand how God desires your life to be. You know, I mean, there's a really popular verse in the Bible, John 10:10. I'm sure you guys have heard it. Preach. The Bible says, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come, Jesus, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. And, you know, that's the way God designs it. You know, God's designed us to live a life that's abundant, a life that's fresh, a life that's real, a life that's banging, if you will. And to live a life that fulfills and satisfies. Now, as you know, the way things are supposed to be isn't always the way things are. So tonight, if you're on the first part of this verse instead of the second part of this verse, how do you get there? I mean, really, how do you go from stolen from to killed to destroyed? How do you go from that to having life more abundantly? You know, there's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I have a lot of them. So this is one of them. In Ezekiel 37, there's this passage of scripture that between God and a man named Ezekiel. And this man Ezekiel is hearing God's voice, and God's just painting this picture for him about a situation the nation of Israel was going through, about a situation that God's people were going through. And he kind of paints a picture of what our life feels like sometimes, maybe where we've been, where we're going, maybe sometimes where we feel like we're right in the middle of. And God begins to paint this whole picture of what's going on. And it leans more towards the first part of this John 10:10 verse. You know, Ezekiel, God begins to tell this story. He paints this picture. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit," that's 37:1, "into a valley. And this valley was full of bones. And then he," capital H, God, "then he caused me to pass by them, to walk in and through them. And behold, there were very many in an open valley. And indeed, these bones were very dry. So God said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'Lord, you know. You're the only one who knows. Why are you asking me this question? You're God. You know, I mean, really, what are, you know, you brought me here, so you got the answers." And when I read this, the first picture I thought of was in the movie Lion King, where Simba goes into the elephant graveyard. You know what I'm saying? And you know, yeah. That thing with all the dead elephants. And I'm just thinking, this is the first picture comes to me. You know, Scar and the hyenas and stuff like that. And that's a picture I see. And the more I think about it, the deeper it goes. You know, God began in these couple of verses. God begins to describe this valley, and it really becomes a rather bleak picture because God describes this valley of bones. I mean, the only thing I can imagine such destruction happening is maybe at the end of a battle where you look out over the battlefield and there's nothing but bodies strewn about, just destroyed and wasted, just absolutely decimated, you know, and it's just like this battlefield. I mean, if you've seen any war movies, if you're a junkie like that with like me, you've seen the pictures of these images, and here's this valley of all these dead bones. I mean, and here's the thing, is that these bones, I mean, they're not just bodies, but they're bones. These bones have no meat on them. There's no life in them. I mean, these bones, this army has been so wasted, so decimated. It's been so destroyed. It's been so laid waste that these bodies were left for to decay and rot and just become whitewashed. This army was so destroyed that there was no one left to give them a proper burial. There was no one left to take them back to their country. There was no one left to bring them back to their nation. There was no one left to care for these bones. That it was such a destructive arena out there that these bones were forgotten about. They were disrespected. They were left to be for the elements and for the birds to take care of. And here's this army that lost the battle and was left for dead. And I think, gosh, you know, isn't that such a picture of this generation at times? Isn't this such a picture of the Inland Empire? Isn't this such a picture of our college campuses at times? Isn't this such a picture of our family sometimes? Maybe it's a picture of where you've come from, where you felt rejected. Maybe you felt alone. Maybe you felt like someone that is there anybody out there who cares about me? Is there anybody out there to give me a call? Is there anybody out there just to ask how I'm doing? Is there anybody out there who's gonna give at the very least give me a proper burial when I'm done? And here's this army of forgotten families. Here's this valley filled with forgotten bones. And God says, this is my nation. These are my people. This is my hurting people. This is my lost people. He says, can they? He says, God says, they're so far gone. Can they even come back to life? And I don't know, maybe you're okay. Maybe you're hunky-dory. Maybe you're fine. So in this picture, maybe you're Ezekiel. Maybe God's asking you, what are you going to do about it in your arena? Maybe God's asking, can you bring them life? I mean, if you're thinking, oh, Pastor Richard, I'm doing all right. Maybe you're Ezekiel in this story. And God brings this man into this place. He says, oh Lord, you know. Now, if you read on, you'll see that God does a couple things. God says a couple things. And he begins to breathe life into these bones. And all of a sudden, you know, God begins to line up certain things. He begins to bring his grace and his power and his Holy Spirit in the situation. But what was it that took this decimated, forgotten, this lonely army to become something of significance again? You know, all of a sudden, the Bible begins to read in verse 4, and again he said, and let me go to verse 3. It says, God said, son of man, can these bones live? You know, God knows already, so he's trying to get Ezekiel where he's at. And Ezekiel says, well, Lord, you know. That's the right answer. I don't know, but you do. You know, so Ezekiel throws it back on God. He said, God, I can't do it. You can. You can do something about this. So again, God said to me, prophesy. He said, speak my word. That's what prophesy means. It means encourage and to speak God's word. That's all. It's nothing weird, nothing crazy. That's all prophesy means. Encourage and speak God's word. He said, prophesy. Encourage and speak God's word over these bones and say to these dead bones, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of God. This is what I say about these dead bones. Pastor Luke said it. He said, you know, I'm speaking things as if they aren't. He says, talk to these dead bones who have no ears because they rotted off. Just an open little, you know, little rats living inside of it. And he says, speak to these dead bones and say, hear with the ears you don't have, hear the word of the Lord. This is what God says to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And it gets kind of exciting there. See, and I know this is basic Christianity 101, but it's where God started. He said, speak my word to them. He said, let them know what I think about them. You see, resurrection, when God takes something dead to life, it always starts with the word of God. And it always starts when the word of God is heard by someone and they do something about it. You know, that word here and there, I don't know a whole lot of Greek and stuff like that, but I do know a couple things. This word, it's a word that they used in Hebrew back when the language of the day, and it was a word called shema. Kind of funny little word, shema. That's all it is, shema. And shema was a real specific word. The word meant hear and obey. Not just the sound waves hitting eardrums, boop, 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 you know. But it was, it meant to hear and obey. And that's this word right here. It said, hear the word of the Lord. Hear and do something about it. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't let it become another memory verse. Don't let it become something that you do, that you just sit in a chair and you listen to some dude talk to you. He said, hear it and let it so change and affect your life that it reverberates in and out of your body, through your fingers, out your mouth, when you begin to interact with people, when you begin to go into your world. He says, hear and obey it, that it changes you from the inside out. So all of a sudden, he spoke this word to these bones. He said, hear the word of the Lord. And it's funny because a lot of us can say, I already know that. But if we really know it, you know, then if we really think that God's word will get our act together, if we really think that God's word will bring life to us, then how come so many of us in this place have a greater understanding of the final episode of Lost than the story of Gideon? know what I'm saying? I mean, we could tell what John Locke really was. Was he really in doubt? Yeah, I don't know what he was. But, you know, I didn't get it. But, you know, we watch Glee. We watch Flash Forward. We watch all these shows. We go and we give the Krikorian $30 for a couple pair of tickets, you know, in the movies. And all of a sudden, you know, we could tell these awesome stories, the movies we watch. But when it comes down to, oh, what about Paul's missionary journey? First, second, third. You know, all of a sudden, you know, we're at a loss of words. Because we hear words, but we have a hard time getting God's word into us sometimes. You know, we know, ora, ora, ra, ora. You know what I'm saying? You know, but we don't know. We don't know. We know the top 10 radio hits, but we don't know the top 10 on God's commandments. You know what I'm saying? It happens. I'm just being real. Don't quiz me on 10 commandments right now, okay? But it's, I'm just being real. Can I preach to myself tonight? Okay, I'm gonna preach to myself tonight. Okay. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "I found the word of God. I looked, and I found the word of God." And it said, "I did eat them, and they were good to me." I'm mixing New and Old King James, so it's kind of like the intermediate King James there. It says, "Your words were found," because he was looking for them, "and I ate them. I chewed on them, I digested them, I let them mull around in my brains, and I did something with them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, God, Lord of hosts." And Jeremiah 15:16, the Bible says, "Your words were found and I ate them." You see, the words were found by these bones, and all of a sudden, it brought death to life. It brought loneliness to fulfillment. It brought hopelessness to a life filled with hope. It took something that was dry and made it alive again. And then all of a sudden, the Bible continues back in Ezekiel. You might want to keep your finger in there. In Ezekiel 37, verse 4, it says, "Again, prophesy to these bones. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will put sinews," that's like, you know, muscles and tendons, and it kind of gets real cool right there, "and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and then I will put breath in you, and you shall live. And then you will know that I'm the Lord." So Ezekiel said, "So I prophesied, I spoke to them, just as I was commanded." Interesting. "And I prophesied, and there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together." Talk about a freaky sight. It says, "The bones began to rattle, and they came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them." It's like that weird ending scene at Raiders of the Lost Ark, except in backwards. You know, if you watch it in reverse tonight, you'll see. And indeed, I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, and there was no breath in them. We'll get to that in a second. See, all of a sudden, this commotion happened, and things began to change. And all of a sudden, God began to rearrange the bones. He began to rearrange the situation. God began to get in there and get his hands into the business of these bones. And God began to. The Bible says a noise, a commotion, a racket. You see, when you're in that dry place, or when people are getting out of a dry place, a noise needs to happen and a commotion needs to happen, because God is doing something different. It is quite uncomfortable, and it can be quite difficult at times, but you really need to allow God to make noise in your life. Because the second you begin to get comfortable within yourself, and the second church becomes routine, and the second this book here becomes just another book, and the second that all of a sudden things when you get kicked back in things, you need to ask God for a little bit more. Because there's no vacation in Christianity. You know, I mean, you could take a vacation from your job. You could take a day with just dudes, you know, go out and ride some bikes, climb some rocks, something like that. Ladies can go get perms, manicures, I don't know, whatever you do, because I ain't a girl. You know, I mean, you can do that. And that's all right, because you need your days. You know, you need a little bit of me time. But there's no me time in Christianity. You know? So as soon as you start to feel like it's vacation time, you need to put your nose back to the grindstone. You see, change began to happen because God was rearranging the lives of these bones. He was taking them, and I'm sure it was not only freaky, but pretty uncomfortable. I don't know if you ever dislocated a bone before, but man. You know, I haven't either, but I saw that. I saw a Lethal Weapon. But anyway, you know, Riggs, you know, there was a noise. See, you guys, I love this. I hope everybody's getting my movie, and I can't do this in youth. Anyway, I'm just saying. You know, there was this noise. Ronnell, my boy. There was this noise that happened. And when things get quiet in your life, you need to ask God for some noise. You need to ask God to shake you up. You know, when you begin to get a little offended in church sometimes, that could be a good thing. Okay, when you don't want to come to church because you're too tired or because you don't like that dude that was looking at you the other day kind of weird because his eye twitched, all of a sudden, those are the times you need to be in church. Okay? You're like, when you start saying, they're singing that song again. Yeah, because you need to hear it. You don't like it because you should be singing it. You know, and that's what God did. God began to come in and made this noise. You know, Matthew 21:23, just put it up on the board. You know, you guys don't have to turn there. I want you to turn to the next one. You know, all of a sudden the chief priests and all the religious leaders came up to Jesus and they were really just kind of ticked at him. And they began to say, let me go turn there real quick. In Matthew 21:23, you guys, I'll just read it to you guys. In Matthew 21:23, the Bible says, now Jesus came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders confronted him. I mean, guys, it takes some guts to confront Jesus. As he was teaching in the middle of his message. Don't even think about it. Albert's got my back. So, while he was teaching, and they said, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? They began to be so frustrated the things Jesus was saying. It began to so rub them the wrong way. They began to get so offended that they were disrupting the service and the times. And they're like, I don't like this. Why? Because he's talking about you. And we need to hear that stuff. You know, we instead of running from difficulty, instead of running from offense, instead of running from I don't like this and I don't like that. Well, we need to run to it. Embrace it. You know, in John 6:60, just a couple books over. Let me flip there. If you guys got to put it up there. But in John 6:60, probably really, this is kind of a depressing part of this. I don't know. It just makes you sad. This is a little part of the chapter. In John 6:60, it starts off right here. It says, therefore, many of Jesus' disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? They didn't like what they were hearing. They didn't get it. And you know what? And here's the thing is they didn't have the drive inside of them to go ask Jesus, what do you really mean? They didn't have the drive inside of them to find out what it was. You look a couple of verses down in 666. Kind of weird, huh? But anyway, and Jesus said, therefore, I said that no one can come to me unless they've been granted the Father. From 666, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They walked away from Jesus. They left Jesus because they didn't like what he was saying. And Jesus said to the 12, do you guys want to go away too? And they turn around and say, heck no, I ain't going anywhere. But all of a sudden, because the noise began to happen, because their necks started getting on the line, because things were difficult, they left Jesus because they didn't like what it was. Look, there's a million reasons a person can leave a church. But if, you know, anyway, I don't go there. But, you know, if you refuse to let God disrupt your life and change the things that need to be changed, you're in hot water. And I'm going to tell you, you can leave that and you're going to always come back to that place and you'll never get past it. It's like being a super senior, you know? I mean, you don't graduate 12th grade, they'll make you be a super senior. And then they'll make you be a super duper senior until you just leave, you know? I mean, I deal with youth, you know. So anyway, that's what it is. That's what, you'll never get past that level of maturity in your life until you let God change and rearrange like he spoke to those bones. So he's beginning to snap them together by his spirit, by his grace. And it's funny because at the very end of that verse where we left off, it said, indeed I looked and the sinews and the flesh, we're back at 37. The sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them over. And it says, but there was no breath in them. But there was no breath in them. So Jesus said, God, the Old Testament. But God said to me, prophesy to this breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied just as God commanded me, and the breath came into them. Breath, you know, breath, that the word breath means spirit. It means life. It means the Holy Spirit came into, not upon, not around, but into these bodies. They're not bones anymore. They look pretty good. They look pretty nice because they look like me and you, but they were still dead. And all of a sudden, the word says that the breath came into these bodies, and then they lived. And then they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. You see, a relationship with God has never been about being good or nice. Church has very little to do with behavior modification. Church is not about just getting your life on track and being a better person, because that's good and that's cool, but that's not what church is. You know, coming to church, reading the Bible, getting close to God is not just becoming a nice person. It goes so much deeper than that. You know, to say that is to put the cart before the horse. You know, we don't become good and nice and do these things to be a Christian. No, we become a Christian because we're so deeply devoted and in love and sold out, and because our life has been so given up to Jesus Christ. Then that causes us to become good people. You see, if we're going to church to get our life right or to do these things, we're putting the cart behind the horse. You know, if you need to come to church to lose yourself and to find yourself inside of God, you need to so fade into the background and let God so fade into the foreground. And then all of a sudden the change happens from the inside out. And then it really begins to happen. That's what it's about. And this is what the Bible says. It says these people, had you seen them on the street, they would have looked alive. They had their act together. They were going to church. You know, this army would be maybe even people that we look up to, but there was no life in them because they had it all on the outside, but they had not yet had God breathe into their life. You know, Psalm 127 says that unless the Lord builds a house, the builders build it in vain. Unless God breathes into whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's your degree, whether it's your family, whether it's your children, whether it's your mom or your dad, whether that's your job, whether that's your sales commissions, unless God breathes into it, it can look good and the numbers can be there and the feelings can be there. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend, and fiance, unless God breathes into it, it just looks good on the outside, but it's a hollow shell of what it could potentially be. It could be good now, but what happens if God breathes into it? It goes from good to absolutely mind-blowing. Because there's a lot of good people outside the church buildings. A lot of people giving into causes. A lot of people saving and rescuing people. There's a lot of people doing amazing things, but it's dead unless God breathes into it. So it's not really success from the inside out until God touches it. It may be good, it may be nice, it may even be revolutionary, but it's not godly until God breathes into it. Unless the Lord builds a house, because they have the house. You can build the house, but unless God builds it, it's in vain. Because in 50, 100 years, you know, it's empty. But if God builds it, it lasts the generations. It becomes an eternal reward. You know, the Bible says this, it says, in Ezekiel, it said, prophesy to this breath. He said, speak to this spirit. Pray. And say, come and come from the four winds. That just means come from, God, come from everywhere. Surround and circle and encompass me. And breathe on these dead that they would live. And if that's you, you need God's breath to breathe on you. If that's your family, you need God's breath to breathe on them. Doesn't matter what end of the story you're this on. There's a command here for us to either receive or to either give. And it says, as soon as it did, they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. It went to forgotten, abandoned, rotten, dejected, refused, forgotten about, dry bones, to an exceedingly great army. An exceedingly great, great army. A people ready to march, a people ready to cause a difference to happen, a people ready to go from forgotten to changing things around them. I mean, if there's one thing that armies do, that's what they do. They change the landscape. Now, obviously, in a spiritual context, when I want to ask nobody, no, to bomb nobody, but in a spiritual context, what happens? Should we become like that? Should we begin to ask God to cause us to become exceedingly great in what we do, to go forth and begin to do things, whether it's on the mission field, whether it's on your campus, whether it's, you know, whether it's with just the person before you handing you your tall white mocha frappuccino with whipped cream. I'm just saying. What would happen if that was us? I don't know if the dream inside of you has died or you're ready to give up or quit, but let God breathe new life into it, because it is a crazy idea. I mean, it really is. But that's why God gave it to you, because you're just about crazy enough to do it. So don't hold back. I don't care if you've been forgotten about. Look where you're at. Not forgotten anymore. I don't care if you're dry. Ask for God's breath. He'll fix that in a minute. And look, it wasn't just one, but it was an exceedingly great army. They weren't alone anymore. They had people to lean on, to watch their back, to defend them. And here we are today, an exceedingly great army, with barely a seat left in the house. It's time to put a balcony right up there. Pastor Joe, you got this, man. An exceedingly great army. Pastor Luke. Stacy. No, I'm just kidding. An exceedingly great army. No, an exceedingly great army. That's exactly what it is. So, I don't know. You guys got anything out of God? Let's give him praise.